This is News in No Time at Gordon. Today on a special roundtable, we continue to examine the stress that hurricane has brought to the displaced children of Katrina. Joining us now are Alvin Poussant, director of the Media Center of the Judge Baker Children's Center in Boston. He's also a professor of psychiatry and a faculty associate dean for students at Harvard Medical School. From our Chicago Bureau, Jenny English, a licensed clinical social worker specializing in survivors of trauma and the president of the English Consulting, Counseling, and Therapy Services. Also with us, Joyce James, Assistant Commissioner for Child Protective Services of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. The department is helping provide various services for some of the children evacuated from New Orleans. I welcome you all. Ms. Joyce, let me start with you. Talk to me about what you have seen in most of the children that you've been helping.
Yes, well, first of all, what I would like to say is that the outpouring of compassion and support that Texas has provided is unlike anything I've ever experienced, and I'm really proud to say that our agents and our staff are playing a role in supporting the children and families. We are seeing mothers and children who are just really upset. We see the signs of pain on the faces of the parents and the children. But children appear to be so resilient. They are playing and they're participating in activities. But then on the other hand, we have experienced and witnessed many children who are crying and upset because they've been separated from their parents. We've seen young siblings taking care of younger siblings and consoling them as they cry because they are disconnected from their family.
And Jenny English, we have to be careful in terms of utilizing the term, as we often do, resiliency in children, because often, particularly among young kids, it's hidden deep. They're not ready, willing, or even able sometimes to express what they're feeling.
This is true, and a lot of that, Ed, has to do with the fact that their mind pretty much gets flooded with a very huge, intense burst of emotion. So if they're unable to process that, it becomes very overwhelming, and hence the trauma sets in. And a lot of the ability for them to develop the capacity to deal with that trauma and to cope, in many ways, it is largely dependent on the ability of the parent to cope, regulate, and soothe themselves in addition to the child. So that is a huge component as to whether or not we will see a resilient child emerge out of an event such as this.
Dr. Poussant, what is your largest concern when you look at the mass of people? Let's talk about families. Let's expand it a bit here, that have been displaced and what they will have to deal with. What's going to be the hardest component for them to try to master at this point?
Well, the trauma has just been enormous, you know, from the hurricane and from the flood and being uprooted, the loss of homes, the loss of possessions, clothes, being in shelters, shipped to shelters, just enormous losses. So I think one of the big issues for these families is to deal with the grief over those losses, which is going to be extreme. That is, there's going to be sadness. I think probably many of them are still in a state of shock and a state of numbness. And what happens sometimes with the children and even adults, the reason why they may not be reacting now is they kind of detach themselves and dissociate themselves from it as a kind of protection for the emotions. So that some of the trauma and the anxiety and stress reactions may appear later. That is, they can appear 2 months later, a month later, and sometimes years later as they relive the extreme trauma of Hurricane Katrina. But I think the most important thing with the family, since the parents were affected like the children, many of them may not be emotionally available to give the children the kind of support that the children need because they're so traumatized themselves. I mean, they're unemployed, they have no jobs, they don't have any money. So I think that the whole family needs to be helped. That should be the first approach. They need support. They need a way of establishing stability, which will in turn help the children feel more grounded and get a sense of who they are once again. Because by being uprooted in this way, the whole sense of identity has been shattered in many ways, and they have to reconnect and regroup. Another thing I'm concerned about is that it's very good that the people are welcoming them. That's very, very, very important. But I think that a lot of the people living in a shelter, after a while, if not now, are going to feel a bit stigmatized if they don't get a home. And I wonder about how these children will be treated in the school system by the other children, how much they'll be welcomed in the school. You know, sometimes children can be very cruel to each other. So I think the schools really have to look at and follow what's happening to these children and give them a lot of support in trying to integrate themselves into their new situation. Going to a new school after they lost all of their friends, all the things that were familiar, and trying to fit in and get into activity is going to be very, very hard. And I think, again, they may start out in the school, but I think keeping them there and keeping them happy and keeping them focused on the academics is going to require a lot of work.
Immensely difficult. Joyce James, let me turn that question to you in terms of what you and your agency will try to do to continue the effect of outpouring. As the doctor said at the outset, all of us want to open our arms, open our homes. But as days go by, you try to get back to normalcy, and therefore some of this outpouring will quite frankly go away.
Well, we currently have Child Protective Services staff in all of the major shelters in Texas working alongside of the Red Cross volunteers and the FEMA staff. And we're certainly making sure that as we have conversations with families and do some of the assessments that we've done in the shelters, that we are referring them to the appropriate resources that hopefully will help to bring back some form of normalcy in their lives. We have actually set up crisis counseling services for the families and children, because it is true that these children look to their parents for support, and we have witnessed parents breaking down emotionally late at night often, and the children witnessing that. And again, sometimes we do look at children and think that they are resilient and can handle this, but we've certainly communicated with our staff the understanding that these children need counseling as well as parents. We meet daily in our agency with our executive team just to review where we are and what efforts we are doing to make sure that we are doing within the scope of our agency those things that we can to support families and children. We have facilitated reunification of 136 children. We know that it is important for these children to be with their family or with relatives that they know at this time, because they have lost so much and experienced so much as a result of Katrina, and many of them have seen their family members die. So we're really focusing on maintaining the family. We're participating in these angel flights where they're bringing children in or bringing families in to be reunited. Mm-hmm. And we're making every effort not to remove children and place them in our foster care system. And that has been minimum in Texas. And it's generally been in response to serious illness or mental breakdowns by the parents. And so our effort here, we think that what we can do for families and children is to keep them together and to refer them to those resources that will help them to become stronger.
Jenny English, how do you deal with a kid who, and there are unfortunately too many of those in this situation, who indeed have lost a close family member, perhaps even both parents. And many of them, quite frankly, are not facing the idea of going to a relative. As we heard just from Ms. James a moment ago, they may have to now find themselves in foster care. How do you tell a kid that, you know, within 24 hours, your entire life changes, and have them be satisfied that the rest of their life will be okay?
Well, a big part of that, Ed, and that's a great question, because that will come up time and time again as a result of this particular hurricane and this event. And in many ways, kids know something is going on. And in addition, many kids also know that something bad has happened. It becomes a matter of remaining hopeful and understanding that this is a horrible thing that's happened, allowing them to grieve, allowing them to mourn, allowing them that time and that space to do the business of processing what that is going to mean to them in a way that makes sense to them, in a way that allows them to have meaning, and in many ways give respect to what it is that they're feeling. Because, a lot of times what we'll see is, because people are afraid of what will happen to the child or how the child will respond, they really withhold and don't allow the child to process that grief. And it's a legitimate grief. So if we're looking to not have any type of, or looking to minimize, I should say, any type of emotional backlash from the child, months, years down the road, it's really about allowing them to have that space now and to regulate them. Because they're going to be disappointed, they're going to be angry, they're going to be hurt, they're going to be very sad. Those are normal things. Those are healthy things. To try to terminate or really cut off that process prematurely is extremely detrimental to the child and to the ability that they will have to process later emotional pain and to be able to regulate those normal things that happen to people as time goes on and as they get older. So that's going to be extremely key when we're talking about helping children who have lost parents.
Dr. Poussin, what about the older child, one who can intellectualize much of this better? Is it harder on them?
Well, I think if they're older children, they can understand it and put it in some kind of perspective. But no, they're going to be traumatized too. The pre-adolescents and the adolescents, and frequently they may show a lot of their trauma and their grief and their despair in irritability, in withdrawal, in poor school performance, in acting out, maybe even resorting to tranquilizers like drugs and alcohol sometimes. To try to make themselves feel better. But chances are that frequently they may show a lot of their upset by being irritable. But it's very important, since they understand these things, that the opportunities be there for them to talk some of these things out with themselves and with other people as well. Sometimes, though, teenagers will try to deal with it again by denial, by being very flip, kind of, I'm getting through this, and I can deal with this, and big deal, and so on. And I don't think that parents should force them to talk if they don't want to, but I think they should leave it open, that is, the counselors and other people, to be able to talk. The other thing I'm concerned about, particularly here, Ed, is that, a poll showed, I think, in CNN and Gallup poll, that 72% of the black people down there felt that, on the country, felt that Bush didn't care about black people. Mm-hmm. Remember, these families and children and teenagers were stranded for many, many days, and that creates a feeling of abandonment by the entire society. And if the parents were feeling that they were abandoned because they were black, this has to be transmitted or was transmitted to the children, mm-hmm. particularly the adolescents, but even the younger children. And I wonder what part that is going to play in their sense of safety and security and even feeling like they're worth something or, as a human being, if they feel that in some way they were this situation was caused in part by the fact that the country did not come to their aid because they were black and poor.
Jenny English, pick up on that point, because Dr. Poussin beat me to my next question, and that is whether or not we are going to see a group of people who already to a great degree felt disenfranchised utilize this as the ability to say, see, you didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, he raised an excellent point. I mean, that is one of those million-dollar questions that we will not have the answer to until, it arises and it starts to manifest itself. The bottom line, I think, with a lot of that, when we're talking about transmuting, or transferring over information from one generation to another about a belief system or about a feeling, that is extremely powerful. So it will become, I think, difficult to reach some of the people, some of the children, some of the parents, because they are so angry to the point that many of them are probably enraged with the fact that, you know, people died or people were left and abandoned for really illegitimate reasons. So we're going to have to look at how are we going to address that? How are we going to deal with that pain and that legitimate pain from their perspective? Because to say that that's not true does nothing more than to fuel that belief system, because now you are pretty much reducing or negating what it is their experience has been, and it really cuts short that conversation that one could have with them and really trying to understand and then moving forward in a productive way, everyone. So when you're talking about dealing with the kids, how the question becomes, how do you explain to the kids in a way that allows them to have an open mind about these are some people who probably thought that way. Here are a huge group of other people who don't. And how do you allow them the ability to develop that type of space to gain a perspective that allows them to understand that they're good and they're bad and they can both exist without trying to destroy you? And you will move on and you will be very successful. I mean, that's the challenge I think we have right now.
Joyce James, really with less than a minute to go, how optimistic are you with what you've seen that most of these children are going to make it out of this fairly well?
Well, I'm very optimistic for what we have here in Texas because of the number of children that we've been able to reunite with their families. And I'm seeing families move out of the shelters into homes. We continue, of course, to have concern about the fact that children are going to have to adjust to, in many cases, a totally different environment. The issue of kids trying to adjust to a new school in a new town, still not knowing where some of their family members are and losing their friends, is going to be have a long-term impact on these children. I am, though, optimistic that with the support that's been provided and the ongoing commitment to continue to help these families, that the majority of them will come out of this well.
Let's hope that's the case. Alvin Poussaint, Jenny English, and Joyce James, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hocus pocus. Now you in that cute little dress that I like. Now don't